Here at the Beringer Ingelheim North Carolina Swine Health Seminar with me is Dennis DePetri. And Dennis, can you give me your title, please?
I'm an economist that consults with really everybody in the chain of the pork industry.
All right. Well, Dennis, today you took a look at, all the stuff that's going on, cost of production, profitability in the U.S. pork industry. One of your main points was distribution. Yeah. You talked about distribution as a mean to look at things as different in how they are here today and how they might be tomorrow. Explain that a little bit. You did a better job explaining it than I did.
Well, you know, I said today that all the world is a distribution because I'm trying to really get my clients now, as well as producers, to begin to see everything in the more complex way that it really comes at them. You know, for instance, most of us have this time when we expect the mail to be in our mailbox. And sometimes the mail carrier is later, sometimes it's earlier, but we have this idea by 2 o'clock it's there. And I go out sometimes at 2:15 and it's not there, and I go, that darn mail carrier. And what you have to realize is that the mail arrives in a distribution of times that has an average around a certain point. Now, the point we're making here is I've seen so many producers make economic decisions based on single point prices, like I'm going to adopt this input or sell this piece of equipment or whatever based on today's price. When in fact, if you adopt an input in the use of production, you may be making a 6 month to a year decision. So we want to know, how is that going to perform when feed prices drift down, when feed prices come up? What's the likely pattern of profit enhancement or loss that it's going to bring me, rather than say, well, today's price is this, and if I work it off today's price, it means I make a dollar. Because today's price isn't any good after today. It's bound to change. It's like your mail carrier time that he comes.
Well, I mean, now how does that relate to when you looked at the price of corn over the last 10 or 20 years, we've seen a dramatic difference in the last, say, decade because of ethanol production. And does that mean that the distribution is never going to get back to where it was 20 years ago?
Yeah, that's something that we tried to take a look at by looking at pictures, distributions of previous year's prices, like last year, 5 year, 10 years. Mm-hmm. And as you're thinking about the future, you have to ask yourself, in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years, do I expect the pattern of the last year to repeat itself, the last 5 years to repeat itself, or will we be going back to a longer-term 10-year sort of pattern? In order to really get an understanding of that, you have to see what is the set of things underneath the price which are causing it to change. And those things can be changing. For instance, you mentioned ethanol. Now it takes over 40% of the U.S. corn crop away from livestock and other uses. So one of the things we can show from a distribution of expected corn prices is if they move away from the mean, they're almost always going to go up. Mm-hmm. We can't really have much downside pressure anymore, because even if we have a bumper bin-busting crop, 40% of it's going to be taken away right off the top for fuel purposes. That kind of mitigates these sort of more normal patterns of the past, which used to be bin-busting crop, really low corn price, drought, really high corn price. So you had kind of an equal on both sides of the mean chance of variation. Now, because 40% is taken, that bottom side is sort of fixed up, and when we miss the mean, it's usually because it's larger.
Now, you talked a lot about DDGS, the byproduct, the co-product of ethanol production, and how the price, the favorable price relationships have allowed swine producers to substitute DDGS as well as soybean meal in their feed rations. Tell us about that.
Well, DDGS is really the fiber, oil, and another byproduct of corn after the ethanol production has taken place. That was given back or sold back to producers as a feedstuff once the ethanol, the alcohol distillers were done with it. That used to be a really good deal, and because it was relatively cheap compared to corn, and because of the high oil content in it, you could actually substitute out some soybean meal as well as corn by including some DDGS. So it was really profitable. However, as things go, the distillers began to look at what they had there in DDGS, and they began to mine individual elements out of it and sell them separately. So the oil content of it's gone down, and in certain cases some other subproducts have been taken out, so that not only does it cost more than it did in the past, but it's not as beneficial in helping you reduce corn and soybean meal as you substitute an equal amount of it in compared to, say, 5 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What is its relationship to bacon? You talked about that.
Yeah, if you feed too much of it, what happens is you wind up with soft fat in the pig. So that even when you chill the side meat before you run it through the slicer, it can kind of gum up the slices. Or if you've ever gotten a package of bacon and you pull a piece off and it stretches to about 2 feet before it gets into your skillet, it probably has a little bit of extra unsaturated oil in it, which from a health perspective, many people might see as a positive, because bacon in many ways now is sort of moving toward olive oil in the sense that it's one of those really good fats to have. But it's hard to slice when it gets too much looseness in it, and a little harder to get from the cold slab to the skillet without having to fold it a couple of times.
Interesting. I had never heard that before. Well, bottom line, what you as an economist, what's your best advice right now to give to a hog producer?
We're going to come into a period of pretty good profits. At least we expect that in the next year. But people shouldn't be lulled into a false sense of security. They should really begin to think in the long run about seeing the prices of corn and bean meal and hogs as distributions, not as annual averages. Secondly, as it's been for the last few years, the most important thing you can do try to ensure profitability is to try to manage margins by using a good hedging program. So we've really seen that make a difference for people who have gotten to be good at it. So we want to not just assume next year will be highly profitable, but as you see months ahead where you can lock that in using the futures, take some of it off the table. Because just like in the stock market, I think it's Jim Cramer that says, bulls make money and bears make money, but pigs get slaughtered. So the idea there is, whether you think prices are going up or down or profits going up or down, once you have the opportunity to take some off the table, do it. Because if you wait and try to get the whole wheelbarrow load, you might wind up slaughtered.
Thank you very much. You're at the Beringer Ingelheim North Carolina Swine Health Center.